attorney. Just give him a call.
This is Ask an Attorney, all about Ask Florida law attorney. With attorney Joe Pippin. If you have a legal Ask question, call Joe right now in Tampa. Call 813-287-5700. Anywhere else, toll free at 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. The law office is open. And now your host, Joe Pippin.
Hey, good morning. Welcome to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. I'm attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The law office is open. Open early on a Saturday morning. And if you have a legal question, something you've been concerned about, maybe something you worried about during the night, lost a little sleep, hey, we're here to give you a little peace of mind and information as much as we can in the time spot that we have here. So if I can help you, be assistance to you, give you a little direction, a little information, please give us a call. You have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. And again, I'm attorney Joe Pippin, actively practicing attorney. Work every day helping people to the best of my ability. A lot of we have 20 office locations around Florida where we meet with people and help people. And if you have a question about wills, trust, probate administration, trust administration, you have a problem going on within an estate, deal with that all the time. Be glad to answer a few questions about that. If you have a question about real estate transactions, you have a question about just how your name is on the deed and what that means, that's really important. If you have real estate ownership, how do you own that property? Do you own it tenants in common? Do you own an undivided interest? Do you own it joint with right of survivorship? Do you have a life estate? We talk about ladybird deeds occasionally. Are they better than a trust? I don't think so, but we can. If you have a question about a ladybird deed, we can also discuss that. Question about family law. I have an interesting family law bit of information, meeting with a client this week that I'd like to talk about a little bit. If you have a question about adoptions, family law, just about anything, a traffic ticket this week, all you have to do is to dial the number, toll-free number, 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. Let's go to Alan calling from Sun City Center. Hey, Alan.
Good morning, Joe.
Good morning.
I have a question regarding the Homestead Act. My wife and I are co-owners of property. We're residents of Florida, living in Sun City Center. And my question is, if I should move back to another state legally changing my residency, is she still eligible for the Homestead Act?
Yeah, if she's a primary resident of Florida and that's her primary residence, yes.
So it doesn't matter if both of our names are still on the property. If I'm a resident in another state, then she could still be eligible.
Yes, sir.
Okay, very good. I appreciate your help.
All right.
It's a nice program. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you very much. Thanks for calling.
Thank you, Joe.
All right.
Bye.
Hey, your question, if you call in, helps other people listening, too. A lot of people have similar circumstances, and we know that, so we encourage you to listen, call in if you have a question. Even if you're just not, you're 99% sure of the question, but of the answer, but you're not quite sure, hey, give me a call. Love to talk to you. Love to help as many people as we possibly can, learn as much as they can. So we have, I'd say the show is mostly educational. A few times there's a few what I call entertainment calls that come in that are interesting as well. But if you have a question, there's no such thing as a dumb question. Hey, if you don't know, it's good that you ask. And I never consider any question as the dumb question. If you don't know, you need to ask and find out so you can have peace of mind about it. Again, our toll-free number is 877-943-9673. You're listening on multiple stations around Florida. We're broadcasting today from Jacksonville, WBOB, 600 AM on your dial. And there's also an FM station, too. Is it It's okay. Well, we're getting a hand signal here.
101.1.
101.1. FM. So if you, this is a pretty wide area, too. I've listened to this station all the way down from Jacksonville to Daytona and maybe halfway to Orlando. I can pick up the signal. And coming in through Gainesville, you pick it up pretty quick. So it's pretty wild, wide signal on that. Also listening out of Tampa today, you're listening on 570-910, 860-930, all being this big wide circle on one of those stations around the Tampa St. Pete down to Sarasota, actually over to Orlando and up to Crystal River. And also there's another FM station in Crystal River where we have multiple stations carrying the program. So thank you for listening. Let's go to Mark in Haines City.
Hey, thank you for taking my call.
Mark, what station are you listening to?
Landmark.
Yeah, okay. 90.3 yeah. FM.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
WLVF, okay?
Yes, sir. Thank you. Hey, I've got an acre, my homestead, in 95, and it's like 600 feet off the road. There's an easement to it. And, you know, that 200 feet of it, it's a 25-foot easement, runs down one side. The problem we got is there's a difference of 5 feet in the legal description versus the survey. I believe it's called a hiatus. I may be wrong there. Mm-hmm. Two title policies on it. I just want to know what my options. Is that an easy fix, or is there a problem? I mean, we're not wanting to sell or anything, but we just want to get it straightened up. A new owner pointed this out to us.
Well, you might be able to do a corrective deed. So the survey doesn't match the legal description right now.
Correct.
And has the county notified? Has the county notified you?
Has who? I'm sorry.
Has the county notified you of the difference?
No, the owner pointed out to me. You know.
And who was the owner? Okay. I mean, is somebody? Oh, so what's your relationship to the owner here? Is there a dispute among
the? Just a neighbor. It's sold. It's sold, so it's a new owner, I should say. Yeah.
All right. Does the new owner think he has?
It's a sorted relationship. It's good. It's good and bad relationship.
Would all the parties be willing to do a corrective deed?
He actually filed a suit to point this out.
An adverse possession suit? Or
he wanted to build a fence on this line. Yeah, and so I said no, so he sued me, and we haven't done anything about that. You know, that's one.
Well, did he file papers? Because you have a time limit to respond to that. So have 20 days passed since you were served papers?
Oh, yeah.
Well, his next step would be just to get what's called a default judgment, where the judge might issue whatever he requested. Since you didn't respond to it, they might go ahead and issue a corrective order, which means he would now own the property.
We did respond. But the lawyer that I have is not moving forward. He just said it's okay, and what the wife and I is it cleared up, you know, what was intended. Right. We bought it. That's what I'm looking for.
All right, so now that you've told me you're represented by an attorney, I can't really also give you advice, because, you know, I'm not going to know as much as that attorney in a couple of minute conversation or have records in front of me.
Well, I'm basically not going to use him or whatever anymore. Yeah. So that's a done deal.
All right, well, a real estate attorney, I have one. If you contact me, I could refer to you that is not associated with my firm, but he writes title insurance and handles real estate disputes, and I'd be glad to give you his number off the air and let you talk to him about it.
Cool.
All right, Mark?
Great.
All right, thanks for calling.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Michael in Tarpon Springs.
Hey, Joe. How you doing?
Doing good, and you?
I'm good. In the situation of guys, I have a very lovely fiance, and she has spent 20 years being abused previously. She's been divorced about 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
And she would like to get some counseling. And we were wondering if, and it's well documented through arrest and, you know, hospital records and stuff, that this actually happened. And ever since the divorce, he's always scammed on support, you know, that kind of stuff. We wonder if there's any way civilly to get him to step up and pay for some counseling lessons. Other people have told us in general conversation that the time to do that was in the divorce decree, but I'm by no means able to understand, you know, the abuse psychology of a female.
Yeah.
You know, so you kind of follow me?
Yeah, that would have been the time to do it. Now that the divorced, does he still try to abuse her? Because you can get a restraining order.
Right. Well, no, he won't come anywhere near her anymore. It was just the idea of, you know, it just doesn't seem right that you could put somebody through that much pain and then just walk
away. Basically what he did to her would be a crime, considered a crime?
Well, he has spent time for it.
Oh, I see. So, yeah, the answer to that was yes.
Back and forth.
Was there any restitution required by the state attorney for what he did to her?
No.
Yeah.
No,
I don't,
it was mainly like 30 days and then some counseling and stuff like that.
Just sitting here, there might be a way, but just sitting here today, I can't think of a way where you could force him to pay for counseling for abuse. Let me say this. If there's somebody out there, maybe a social worker or somebody with knowledge about this, and they want to call the show, I'll open the microphone to someone who can help me help you. I mean, I do that all the time, but I'm just sitting here right this second. I can't think of a way that you can get him to pay for anything.
Yeah, I just wonder if there's any kind of civil action we could take.
Keep listening. Maybe a social worker or an attorney or somebody who's been through the same thing will call in and give us a little more information.
All right, brother. I do appreciate you, though.
All right. Thank you so much.
Have a blessed day.
You too. Bye-bye. Let's go to Adonis in Jacksonville. Hello?
Hello?
Yes. What's your name?
Oh, it's Rose.
Rose. Okay. This says Adonis on my thing, so I was...
Okay.
I'll change that to Rose. What can I do for
you? Yeah. Okay. I have a question. Say a widower has a will made out 7 years prior to his death, but remarries before his death, what is the new wife entitled to? He owns his own home, his own car, and all the contents of the house. The new wife actually brought nothing into the marriage home. But she's also not included in the will because the will was made out before they married. So my question is, what is she entitled to, and where does the will stand?
Well, the will of the husband, we're talking about the will of the husband, right?
Yes, uh-huh.
Was made before he remarried his present wife.
That is correct.
And do you know what the will for the husband says?
Yes. The home that he owns goes to the children. And all the contents are being divided between all of his children.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So the new spouse, and actually this was, I was going to mention a client I had this week in a very similar story. So I'm glad this refreshes me that I needed to go back and do that. But I can basically do it with your question. So Basically the new wife, is there, then are you assuming there's no pre- or post-marital agreement?
No, I don't believe so.
All right, well, the good news for the new wife is, regardless of what that will says, she has spousal rights. And the spousal rights, absent a pre- or post-marital agreement, are she gets to live in the house for life. And she could actually sell the house if she made a timely election. She could sell the house and keep half of the proceeds or live there for life. Okay. And she can contest the rest of the will on anything he owns, even joint accounts that are not subject to the will, and take 30%.
Okay. So really, she does have...
She's got power.
Yeah, no kidding.
She's got the spousal power rights. And she's entitled to that. Nobody can really take it away, regardless of what the...
No matter what the will says. So he would, he would have to have a new will made out prior to his death then.
He can even make a prior will. I mean, he can make a later will after he got married, trying to leave everything to his kids. It's not going to work.
Oh, really? So she would automatically get 30%?
No matter what he does.
Okay.
She can get 30% and have the right to sell the home.
Okay. What if the home is still in the decedent's name and his wife, prior wife that he was married to, and she preceded him in death, and her name is still on the
basically a death certificate takes her name off.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that answers all my questions.
If this widow would like to come see me and, you know, have a face-to-face interview, I don't really charge for those type of meetings. I'll be glad to explain to her her rights in person.
Okay, that would be wonderful. That would be great. All righty.
Well, and I'll give out all of my contact information here several times during the show. But thanks.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Thank you for calling.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Let's go to Robert in Sarasota. Hey, Robert.
Hello. Yes.
What can we do for you,
I'm
sir?
Here.
Okay. What can we do for you?
I'm getting ready to sell my condominium that I purchased 10, 15 years ago. And just the numbers on my address are incorrect. And I'm assuming I'm going to have trouble when it comes time to closing this transaction.
Well, the numbers on the deed for your address are wrong?
Yeah, just the numbers. The street is right, everything else.
Robert, I don't think that's going to matter because everything is kind of controlled by the legal description. So as long as the legal description on the deed is correct, I don't think you're going to have a problem.
You know, I didn't look that far. I'm assuming that the legal description is on that deed.
Yeah, if it was done by a title company, I'm pretty, 99% of the time the legal description is going to be correct and the address difference is not going to make a difference.
Oh, wonderful. All right, well, I appreciate your help.
Hey, peace of mind. Have a good weekend.
Okay, you too.
All right, thanks. All right. You're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin. Glad to be here. Glad to help you. We have open lines right now. If you have a question, call our toll-free number, 877-943-9673. Again, phone lines are open. You have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673. All of the locations where our callers come from, we have radio stations that carry the program. So Sun City Center, we have a local FM station, community station in Sun City Center. We have Haines City, 90.3 FM, Tarpon Springs. Could have been one of multiple stations there, 570, 910, 860. Jacksonville probably was 600 a.m. The Answer. Sarasota is probably 930 a.m. There's a radio station there. So no matter where you're listening, even if you're not listening in the state of Florida, you have a toll-free number, 877-943-9673. Okay, I'm going to make a comment about our last call or the spousal rights call. And then I'm going to give all my contact information. I'm also going to offer our free estate planning poster sheet. So you can get your hands on that if you want. We'd be glad to mail it to you. And also, we don't charge for our first visit with you to review documents and or to recommend what you might consider in estate planning. So the spousal rights. I had a client this week where it was kind of reversed. The lady had remarried. And she entered into her second marriage with a lot more assets than her spouse, including the home. But now she's married, and she does want to leave the home to her children. And she also wants to receive anything that she inherited from her parents that she has just in her name to her children. So she comes in to see me. She brings her spouse with. So I go through my little spousal rights talk, just like I did with Rose in Jacksonville there. So basically, the husband's very agreeable and has, at least verbally at this point, agreed to do a post-marital agreement. So the husband can, in this case I'm talking about, waive his rights to his wife's homestead and the 30%, can waive the rights, so she would then have the right upon his death, I mean her death, if she died first, and she was much younger, so you know the odds of that are probably not very high, but it could happen. If she did die first and this post-marital agreement is signed, then she could, in fact, leave everything to her kids. If not, hey, that spouse is going to have the same rights I discussed. Could live there for life, could have it sold, a timely sale of it, walk away with half the cash from the sale, and 30% of everything else. Let's go to Sean calling from Dover. Hey, Sean.
How you doing, sir?
Doing great. And you?
Good, good. I had a question. It's for my mom. She's looking at, she has to update her will.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people told her about a living trust.
Right.
She owns her home outright. She has a 401k. You know, she owns her own car. Would that be something?
Well, the 401k probably has a named beneficiary, so that art doesn't go into a trust. The home, is
okay.
Is it real estate or mobile home or what kind of home is it?
It's a single family block home.
Okay.
In a nice neighborhood.
So most of my clients would put their home in the trust to keep it out of any probate proceeding. The minimum fee we charge to do a probate is $2,500. And you can eliminate that type of fee by doing a living trust and deeding the house to the trust and then giving the trustee instructions on what to do with the house upon death.
Okay. Now, like her other possessions, because she has, you know, jewelry.
Yeah, along with the trust, you have what's called a pour-over will. So you have a will that where you can itemize who gets what family special things like that.
And that would go into the trust.
Nope, that doesn't have to go into trust because personal things don't go through probate like that.
Okay.
The non-titled personal...
Anything that goes through a probate.
Yes, anything that would go through probate you can put into a trust. Like, and that would be checking, saving, CDs, money market accounts, and real estate. All right.
Okay. Understood. I got one more question.
Mm-hmm.
It's regarding VA benefits.
Yes.
I'm retired Air Force, and I've been retired for almost 8 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to add to an existing claim that I already have
mm-hmm.
for a disability benefit, and I'm getting some pushback. Would that be something that your office handles as well, or
no? I could refer you to someone. And there are a lot of times these cases have to go to the second level to be appealed. And that's where you have your success rate, just like Social Security disability payments. Sometimes you have to appeal them. But if you contact my office, I'll find someone that can help you there.
Outstanding.
All right, Sean.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. If you would like to contact our office, we have a toll-free office number. This is also good for if you want to request the estate planning poster sheet. You can do that or make an appointment and have me review or go over some things with you. You have a toll-free number, 1-800-226-3529, 1-800-226-3529, extension 200. You can email me at Joe, J-O-E, at A-T-T-Y. PIP.com. That's Joe, J-O-E, at A-T-T-Y-P-I-P.com. Let's go to Juan in Tampa.
Hey, Joe, good morning.
Good morning.
Say hi to your dad for me, ex-Marine, correct?
Yes, he is. Well,
yeah,
I certainly will.
Brothers, so.
All right.
I have, this month's been a bad streak of luck for me and my fiance with the vehicle. She's had two accidents, and accidents weren't her fault. Obviously, one of them, they said that she was 15% at fault, but it didn't make sense. But anyways, that's not my question. On this last accident she had, she was in a two-lane street. The far left lane was a turning lane to the left, and she was on the right lane. There's another gentleman on the left lane, and a guy just barreled in between both of them. So now I guess the guy's fighting it, and she got a letter.
He's fighting the traffic accident, but he got a ticket?
I guess. I would imagine so, because she got a letter, a subpoena, to go to court.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the only thing I can think of, that he's fighting the case or the ticket or whatever.
Did your fiance get a ticket?
No, she's not at fault at all. He's 100% at fault.
Was she injured?
She's going to therapy right now, but the car's still damaged. I mean, they're giving no rental. She's going through the process right now of them estimating the damages and everything.
Yeah.
So they can pay her out or whatever.
If she's going to therapy, she really needs to, at least the minimum, talk to a personal injury attorney.
Oh, yeah, she has one. But I was just curious, because this attorney said that she doesn't need to show up to the court that she was subpoenaed to, because it's a traffic subpoena, not a criminal subpoena. Is that somewhat accurate, or? It says there that she can be arrested and this and that on the paper. But
no, I think she should. Juan, if you contact me, I'll give you a traffic attorney that can give her some free advice about that. But my opinion would be she'd have to show up.
She'd have to show up, okay. All right, so she'd have to just basically, since it's this, I mean, I don't understand the laws too much, but it doesn't make sense to me as a normal person who doesn't know the laws, that if someone causes an accident and now she's going to have to be burdened to leave work and have to go to court just because this guy didn't know how to drive, and she's just driving comfortably down the road, obeying the laws, and then she has to go to, you know, miss work and everything like that. And I know she's not going to get reimbursed for this and stuff like that. So that's why I was just curious if she had to go or not, but... Yeah, I'll definitely.
Call me, and I'll give you the name of a traffic attorney that I've used lots in the past, and
right.
He can tell her what to do about it and whether there's a way not to. Maybe she can be excused, but the attorney can contact the other attorney and just tell her she can't. She's not available today for certain reasons, and try to get it postponed at least, and maybe they will just proceed without her. So.
I got you.
The outcome, right, well, the outcome much. Of whatever happens in that event would probably have nothing to do with the outcome of the personal injury case, though, just so you know. So she already has a personal injury attorney that's handling her case?
Yes, he's handling it and stuff like that. And they're talking about this guy doesn't have enough insurance. He's got like $10,000. There's another two cars involved besides his, and there's not enough money in there for damages for both cars and his.
Well, listen, have the personal injury attorney that represents her already see if he'll put a one or two sentence on a piece of paper that says that she doesn't have to appear because of the subpoena.
Because of the what, I'm sorry?
But have her own attorney. I would suggest that, you know, he might know more about this than I do, but I would feel safer if I were your fiance to have a piece of paper signed by my attorney telling me not to go to the traffic hearing and just ignore the subpoena.
Instead of being a he say, she said.
Yeah, get in writing. So she has peace of mind. She has something in writing from her attorney that's telling her not to go.
Perfect. All right, well, thank you very much for your service in the community, sir, have a great one.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right, let's go to Lori in Tampa.
Hi, Joe.
Hey, how are you?
I spoke with you last month about an issue at a military base where they were trying to get me to go out there and speak with them, and you recommended that I do not go out there, and if I do go out there, to be sure to take an attorney with me.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, in the meantime, they had called me, and I shared with them that I was having some health issues, which I was, and they still wanted me to go out there, wanted to know when I'd be back in the area, because I was down in Naples at the time they called. And so
they didn't subpoena you, right?
Well, here's the thing. I don't know what they've done. The last conversation was, well, we want you to know that your military ID card has been flagged. If you try and go in any base anywhere, you're going to be arrested. And so I said, oh, okay, special. Anyway, long story short of it, I said, well, that's fine. I said, I've only used it once in 20 years, so I'm okay with that. You know, I said, I don't know what I'd be arrested for, but anyway.
Now, all this is verbal?
Yes, over the phone. So anyway, they said, well, we'd like to call you back on Monday because I had just gotten two teeth pulled. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't really speak. And I said, I'm in a lot of pain. I can't really have this conversation. Well, we'll call you back in a couple of days.
Ma'am, here's what I would tell you to tell them. Tell them you've talked to an attorney, which you have now. Tell them the attorney requested that they were told you not to take any more phone calls from whoever is calling you, that you would like to have everything down in writing about what they are requesting. Force them to put it in writing as to why they want to see you and what the reason is and, you know, what they're after. And don't take any more phone calls from them. Just answer the phone, you find out it's them. You said, look, I've talked to an attorney. The attorney told me not to discuss anything with you on the phone, and any request you have put in writing and send to me.
I love that, and I appreciate that. And I changed the phone number because they did call back one other time. I didn't take the call. I said, I don't need this. But here's my question to you this morning. I had a UPS box, and I closed down that box because through my DOD card, if they were going to send a subpoena for whatever reason, it would have gone there.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of jumped the gun. I closed that box down. I haven't done a forwarding address of any kind. How would I know? Is there any way to know if a subpoena has been issued in my name?
They don't send subpoenas to P.O. boxes because there's no one there to sign for them.
Oh, they have to be signed for.
Yeah, they have to show you actually received it.
I see. I didn't even know that. Okay. And have I done anything against the law by closing down my UPS box, knowing what I know?
No. No, you still have an address. If they want to search for you, they'll find that.
All right. Okay, very good. So this is something that would have to be served to me. Knock, knock, knock on the door.
Yeah, I'm really surprised. This sounds like a scam or something. They can't keep calling you on the phone telling you certain things. They really want to see you, then they find a way to get write you a letter. Of course, would you give them your address if they called you? Okay.
No. I changed everything, all my personal information, because I can't take the stress.
Yeah.
And they won't answer my question, what is this all about? I can't get a straight answer from them.
Yeah. All right. Well,
I'll handle it the way you say.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Lori. All right. Bye-bye. Listen, you ask an attorney all about Florida law. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin. If you have a legal question, the phone lines are open again at 877-943-9673. 877-943-9673. Let's go to Karen calling from Sarasota. Hey, Karen.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
My question is, I took out a life insurance policy on my husband when I was 25 and he was 47. And it was addendum to the policy stating that if he lost a limb, they would pay you $2,500 for one limb. If you lost the second one, they pay you another $2,500. Well, in 2011, he lost his eyesight and he's totally blind. And I kept asking the agent when he came to my house to pick up the insurance that I kept reminding him that I had this policy, and they kept denying me this claim. So finally I got the insurance commission involved, and they paid on the claim of the $5,000. But I'm trying to go after them to for 4 years I paid on this claim, because it's a waiver premium attached to the claim that if something happens to him, the policy is paid up until he dies. They're denying me the years that I paid into the claim. And I want to know if you think I should go forward with this.
How much money would that be?
Probably about $3,000.
$3,000?
Yes.
Okay, well, $3,000, you can do that yourself in small, you know, if you hire an attorney, the attorney fee could be that much.
Right. So, I went to the small claims court yesterday, and they gave me two documents, one that you can call and maybe they could negotiate it. They don't want to go to court, and the other one is I have to pay $300 to $310 to move forward through the small claims court. But I just wondered if it's worth going, you know, fighting with. I mean, I feel in my heart, I know I had insurance since I was 25, and he's been blind through the process, and I was denied every time saying that I didn't have this addendum to this policy.
Well, I think it's worth pursuing if you want to spend the time to pursue it.
Okay.
It's basically okay, up to you, whether how you spend your time and what you want to...
That I know, but I just didn't know that if I have a chance of winning.
Yeah, well, so I think an attorney would have to review the policy to probably answer that.
Okay.
So, but, you know, it really just depends. It's under $5,000, so you could go after them in small claims. Sometimes once you start that, they pay more attention to it. And it might be settled quicker than you think. Other times they dig in and then cause you to have an attorney that causes you all kind of more time and effort. And sometimes when that happens and you never hire an attorney yourself, you've spent time and maybe a little money that you wish you hadn't have and gotten involved in the first place. So I mean, really, it's just up to you. It's hard to say what the outcome would be.
Oh, okay. All right.
Thank you, Karen. Good luck to you. You're listening to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. I'm Attorney Joe Pippin, practicing attorney. The law office is open for another 15 minutes or so. If you have a legal question, you have a toll-free number, which is 877-943-9673, 877-943-9673. If I can help you, maybe give you a little peace of mind, get you pointed in the right direction, perhaps... All you have to do is to call that number, 877. Phone lines are open, 877-943-9673. Looking forward to coming back to help 90.3 FM station in Haines City, WLVF, be there March the 2nd. That's a Friday morning, and they have a weekend telethon that I helped very much in the early stages of that many years ago, and I come back every year to try to give them a helping hand, and looking forward to being in Haines City, Florida, March the 2nd at 8 o'clock to help them get their telethon rolling. I think it actually starts on Thursday, but we come in there and try to get things moving and try to be helpful for that event, and always looking forward to that. That's also a good time for you Haines City listeners. That's also a time you can come visit the radio station. It's actually in an old historic hotel in Haines City. And it's I was there when the hotel, I remember the hotel just being totally, you couldn't even walk in the place. It was, and it really needed a lot of rehab construction to make it what it is today. Today it's a college, Landmark College, and it's also houses the radio station. So if you want to visit, that would be a good time to visit. Let's go to Roscoe in Tampa. Hey, Roscoe.
Hello.
What can we do for you, sir?
I live in Tampa. The automatic red light scam that the city has, I received a ticket in the mail, says that they would like to be paid almost $159. I've looked at the three pictures. Yes, they have my license, but there's no connection between that and the two pictures. I don't even see that my car in the two pictures. What do you think would be the appropriate action?
If you contact me, I'll give you the name and phone number of a traffic attorney who can tell you whether that can be defended, and if so, what it would cost, or he'll tell you that you might as well pay it. It would be the simplest source and be done with it. So if you want to contact me, I'll give you his name. He does a lot of traffic work.
All right. Sounds good.
All right, Roscoe.
Hey, I'll see you in church.
All right. Very good.
Bye-bye.
All right. So we go to Idlewild Baptist Church in Lutz, which is in the Tampa area. So I guess that's what he knows me from there, maybe. All right. So let's go to, after we talk to Kelly, we'll give you our contact information again. Kelly in Jacksonville.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. And you?
I'm great. My question is, I got another dilemma with a rental car. I would say Dollar Drifty rental.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, I set reservations up to get the car, which was a Charger. I get there, there's no Charger. He has only two cars, which was a Camaro convertible, a yellow one and a red one. I go, okay, you got to give me the best insurance you got. I say, I never have a Camaro convertible. He goes, okay, fine. I said, but wouldn't you have to put this down a little bit? I say, because the Charger was less expensive. He goes, yeah, I'll give you a break. So I rented the car. Car was stolen. Car actually was stolen. Husband had the car. And basically, he dropped my son off. And I had no idea the car was even out of the house. You know, I guess the son and the dad went for a joyride. Car was stolen. So with that being said, they put a judgment on me, and I'm going like, well, whatever happened to your insurance that you offered me? And I told you I needed the best. From that point, at that point, I didn't even know what to do because they telling me I should have used my insurance. But I go, no, I had your insurance. That's what I paid for. So now that I got a judgment against me, they sent me another letter in the mail. Well, I got subpoena for the judgment, but I didn't get subpoena for the going to court on the 26th. So at this point, I'm trying to figure out what should I do.
Well, you got a subpoena for the judgment, so I don't know what that means.
Well, they put a judgment against me.
How they can't just put a judgment against you. You have to go to court for them to get a judgment against you.
Oh, okay. Well, I received the paperwork basically saying they was going to put a judgment against me.
Well, they serve you with a petition, which is a lawsuit that you have to defend, and if you don't defend, they can wind up with a judgment, but it's not automatic. How long ago did you get the petition or the subpoena?
I want to say last year, early part around May.
And you never responded to it?
Yeah, I responded because they wanted me to write a letter in my own words what happened. And I wrote the letter, told them exactly what happened. And then this is the key. JSO, which is Jacksonville City Police, ran and chased the guy that stole the car. He got killed, and the car got totaled.
Well, let me ask you this. Even though you thought that you had insurance with them, your own policy probably still covered you. So I don't know why you didn't submit it to your own company.
Okay.
And I'm surprised somebody didn't.
I felt like I didn't have to.
Yeah, well, I'm surprised somebody didn't demand your insurance information, like the car company.
Okay, but when I did, they told me that they wouldn't cover it because I did eventually submitted it to my insurance company, and they wouldn't cover it.
And why was that? Do you know?
No. They didn't even say it. They just said
so. Have you ever gotten a piece of paper called judgment at the top of it against you for a certain amount of money?
Yes, I got that last year.
Okay. Well, unfortunately, you waited too late to do anything, and you probably, I don't know what you could have done if your insurance company also denied it.
But why you would have had to prove on the 26th of February.
What now?
I said they asked for me to come to court on the 26th of February.
And what kind of paper did you get about that?
It just said that they wanted to, have me to pay a certain amount of money.
I see. Well, an attorney would have to look at that piece of paper and tell you what that means and what you have to do. But basically, the next step, if they already have a judgment against you, they're looking for a payment plan, and they could maybe get you a deposition in aid of execution, so you have to come in and list all of the assets so they can decide what they could possibly take.
Wow. Okay, because it's $21,000.
All right.
I'm out.
Sorry for your troubles there, Kelly.
Okay, thank you so
much. All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to Ask an Attorney, all about Florida law. If you have a legal question, we have about 5 minutes left in the show, 877-943-9673. That's 877-943-9673. If you'd like to contact our office, again, we have 20 office locations around Florida. Don't charge anything for that first meeting to review like estate planning documents and give you advice on what to do in those areas and so forth. Our toll-free office number is 1-800-226-3529. That's 1-800-226-3529. Go to extension 200. If you'd like to email me and you'd like an appointment or request the poster sheet, email me your name and address at Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. That's Joe, J-O-E, at attypip.com. If you want to text me, you can go, you can text at 727-667-3967. That's 727-667-3967. Let's go to Brian calling from Jacksonville. Hey, Brian.
Hey. Hey, how you doing today?
Good, and you?
Good. Real quick, I'm going through a divorce. None of the paperwork's been started yet. We're separated, and we have two children together. And then I found out she was having her affair, you know, on my back. And I'm paying child support to her. My question is it legal? I mean, will I be covered when we go through the divorce, or am I just wasting money right now?
Well, do you feel like you have an obligation for the child support? Because I don't see anything wrong with it.
Oh, definitely. I mean, they're my girls. And she's told me, I've got text messages, you know, are you going to pay child support? And I pay every week, and I get a money order every week. You know, so that way I have receipts. I keep receipts on everything, you know, school clothes and everything. And I'm just wondering if when we go to divorce and everything, will that be...
Well, I don't think it's going to matter at that point. The court's going to set a new amount moving forward.
Okay.
I don't think they're going to go back and make any adjustments in the past.
No arrearages?
You never quite know what's going to happen in the divorce court and what the party's going to ask for and what they're going to do. I mean, you never really know that, but that's not usually the way it works.
Okay.
And I think, you know, you're doing what you actually should be doing. You're contributing to this. She asked you for more money than you're giving her?
She has, but I haven't because, I mean, this is my second divorce, so, I mean, I'm paying for two other children from my first marriage, so she's pretty cool about it because I have the insurance on the girls, everything. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm paying for insurance, everything.
Yeah, well, a lot of fathers are just deadbeat dads that don't contribute anything. So I would say she's pretty lucky to have you taking care of some of the payments now. So.
Okay. And then last question. When we broke up, you know, it was just separation. She wanted to work it out. So I left everything because of the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And then I found out she was having an affair and moved the guy in like 3 weeks after I left. Will I be able to get any of that stuff back or am I pretty much lost it all?
No, it's possible. You just get a good divorce attorney and fight for what you think should be yours.
Okay. Yeah. All right, so I really appreciate it.
All right. I wish you well.
Have a great day.
Thank you. Thanks. Bye-bye. All right, again, you're listening to Ask an Attorney All About Florida Law. We're here every Saturday morning at 8 o'clock. The show in some of the stations in the Tampa area is repeated at 5 p.m. on Sunday afternoon. So if you're in that area and heard something someone else should maybe hear, tell them about the show. In fact, tell anyone who has a legal situation about the show. We'd love to help them in any way we possibly can. Attorney Joe Pippin, wishing you a great, safe weekend. So long.